The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Combos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today's episode is so funny. It's with Kate Grace, who I know pretty well. We actually used a bike together last year when she was living in Portland over the summer, so that was a good time. But this episode is pretty wild, I would say, which Kate wanted to make it wild, so I think we lived up to the hype, but you guys will have to let us know. Before we get started with the episode, just want to say that it would mean so much to me if you take the time to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. That way, it really helps me establish credibility for the podcast. That way, like, bigger, you know, more well-known guests can come on and answer your guys' listener questions. It's really quick, and it takes literally 15 seconds to go do that on Apple Podcasts. And it's also a free way to support, so if you've already done that, I really appreciate it. And if you just listen to the podcast every week and you tell your friends, your family, your favorite fellas, that means a lot to me too. And yeah, let's get straight into today's episode. Okay, Kate is currently sitting outside of a Starbucks, and we're recording a podcast. Kate's on the road. She's always on the move. You can't get her to just sit still. She's got to get her coffee.
I got to get my coffee. I honestly had to get a cold brew for this. I was so excited to be on the podcast.
Okay, I'm thinking I need to start, like, door dashing people cold brews because I know. I'm like, I feel bad. I mean, usually I send people a box of the crazed foods we're coming on, which I will send you a box if you want them.
Much more excited for that. That's much better.
Yeah, but I need to, like, actually have, like, cold brew on hand for everyone so that it actually lives up to the name. Because I feel like a fraud.
I also just, like, love cold brew, especially after a workout. So it was perfect. It was a good excuse.
Yeah.
To stop by the Starbucks, use their Wi-Fi. I'm like bumming off their Wi-Fi from the car. So
you got to do what you got to do. Okay. Well, to start off the podcast, do you want to just give a little intro of who you are and what you're about?
Yeah. I'm Kate Grace. I'm a professional middle distance runner. I ran the 800 and the 1500. I just set some PRs in the 8. I ran 157.2, which was exciting. I'm a Nike athlete.
Okay, can you believe that it's been like a year since we were biking together in Portland?
I know. That was crazy. It was so funny. I was thinking back to that. That was like so much fun. I was injured and I was like using a friend's bike and we would go on what, like 2-hour bike rides?
Yeah, like 2-hour bike rides just around town. You were on Gwen's bike and it was like a 10 grand bike that she was just like, I don't really like know how to use this. And here I'm on like aluminum clunker of a bike and I'm like dying up these hills and Kate's like, I have like all these gears, like I'm doing amazing.
Yeah. Although still I feel like I would kind of sometimes die behind you, even though like, yeah, the bike was embarrassingly super nice. You also showed up and you had this like huge, even this kit. Didn't you have a bike, like a full on like cycling outfit situation?
Oh, well, yeah, of course. Yeah. You were wearing like running shorts. I was like, bro. Well, because my butt hurts so bad, like you need to wear the kit.
No, I mean, I understand. I felt like kind of embarrassed. Yeah. Also, you were like, yeah, you were way more prepared and like legitimate with what, like, you had all your different gear. I don't even know. I also, I didn't really know you that well. I feel like I just DM'd you and asked if because you were riding and I wanted someone to ride with. I don't know. I kind of forced it, but whatever.
Yeah, no, that was great because like I didn't have that many people I was biking with out in Portland. So when you DM me, I was like, oh, absolutely. And then I like asked like Carissa, I'm like, is she cool? Like, what am I getting myself into here? But yeah, we ended up having some good times around the city.
Yeah, we were kind of like way out there. And then we had one where you got a flat tire, although then it happened like a million times to you, but we had a flat tire. And for me, that was a huge experience because it was like, we were stuck out there for like an hour.
Yeah. Okay. I got my first flat tire ever with Kate. And then it just like began this string of flat tires, which I don't know where it came from, but you saw the first one and then it just went downhill from there. You're glad that, because I think after that, we didn't like bike together very much anymore. You're probably like traumatized. You're like, I don't want to go with this girl. She always gets flat tires. But yeah, you're glad that you didn't because every single ride I went on, I basically got a flat tire. So.
Yeah, no, I think actually what happened was that I left for Park City again.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just that I like, I hated you and left. But,
yeah, you're like, this sucks. Yeah, no, you actually did leave. So
yeah.
I was sad though, then I didn't have anyone to bike with.
I know. I feel like you got better though. You actually like were doing legit stuff. I was when you were just starting to do your easy ones.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I mean, you've had a lot of life changes and honestly we haven't really chatted since then. So how are you? What's up? What's new?
Yeah, I know. It's been crazy. It's funny. That was like I was totally off, totally injured and then kind of just like taking my sweet ass time coming back. Like I think just last year was crazy, right? And so I just whatever had no rush to it. But yeah, I mean, I'm training with Team Boss in Colorado now. That's been great. I've been running 800. I've been really running really well, so that's been super fun. Honestly, it's been just so cool. I've been like a pro runner for like 8 years now, 9 years now, and so it's just been really awesome to be able to have like a resurgence and run really good times and PRs and stuff at this point in my career. Cause I think for a while I just like kind of assumed that wouldn't happen. I don't know.
Yeah. You just thought like maybe you reached your peak and you're like,
yeah.
Yeah. So why did you, I mean, you probably got this question so often, but why did you decide to leave Bowerman for Team Boss?
It was fully training related. Just like basically realizing that I like was, as much as I really would have absolutely loved to have a situation where I'm like, oh my gosh, I can run a 15, whatever, or 14, 25K. And like, I'm amazing. It just like was very clear to me that I, after a little bit, that like that type of training was not like what I needed to be my best. So it was definitely hard. It was like really hard to tell all of the like women there just that I had to quit leaving and stuff, but honestly I feel like everyone's supportive of each other. Everyone understands that like it's a grand scheme thing, it's a short career and like you need to do what's best for you. So still supportive everyone or whatever.
Yeah. Were people like shocked?
I mean, the weird thing was, it was at the same time when, like, contracts were being renegotiated, so there was kind of a general awareness last year that, like, stuff could happen, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, mostly for people if they weren't able to re-sign with Nike or whatever, but I think everyone kind of knew that, like, stuff was gonna start changing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, when you say, like, the training, like, what is the Bowerman training? Like, I know it's very strength-oriented, so... Is it like 5K training? Is that like the primary thing?
Yeah, I mean, Jerry's like, I mean, an incredible 5K coach, clearly, right? Like, it's wild. And I think a lot of it in the fall, yes, is like very much based around if you can do some kind of 5K training, then you're really going to benefit. Even if you're a 1500 meter runner, you just get so strong because you do that stuff. And honestly, I just was so bad at it. Like, I just was like, I don't know. Like, they would do 8 or 10 miles of work, and I would like struggle through 5 miles. So it was like both, I felt horrible about myself. Not horrible, but like, I was definitely not thriving. And then also I don't think it was necessarily like benefiting me. Like maybe if I had just gone slower or whatever, it would have been a little bit better. Yeah, so I think it's very strength based, and there's a lot of like tempo threshold type mile stuff in the fall. And then a lot of the paces with the more specific stuff in the fall is much more like 5K specific.
Did you ever have a point in time at Bowerman where you're like, this is good, like I'm doing well? Or was it just kind of always like you were kind of being like pummeled to the ground by these workouts?
No, definitely. I mean, I PR'd like in the mile there. I ran 4:20 in the mile. I ran a PR in the 1500. Like I went there wanting to run the 1500. So honestly, that was the big change is like, going into 2021, I decided I wanted to go for the 800. And that's when it really shifted, right? With me saying, okay, I really need to be specific with short middle distance training. But yeah, like, I mean, I ran good seasons in 2019. I didn't make the team. But then like later in the summer, I PR'd in the 1500 and ran good races and stuff. So there definitely were times like where I was feeling good and I ran well with the training.
What's the difference between like that and then now with Team Boss? Like what's the difference?
Again, it's just more age specific.
Can you just lay out like on your entire training calendar for
honestly, I was getting this question and then finally I just texted Joe. I was like, Joe, I feel like I'm answering this question really stupidly. What should I say?
Yeah.
I should read what he told me. What did he tell me to say?
Just pull from the fact sheet.
That's probably too much. I mean, I think basically just like a little bit more 800 specific work and cut the mileage a little bit so I have more energy for that. There's a slight shift in strength training. We're doing lifting right after the workouts. But again, like a lot of training in the US right now, I think the big thing is that there's no like magic. There's not necessarily like a magic formula, right? People are doing good things in all different places. And I think for me, just having a little bit less mileage so that I can then like hit my hard specific workouts is pretty key.
Yeah. What do you think has been like the biggest cause of like all your awesome races this summer?
I think it's a combo of training has been great. And like tailored to me. I think that plus then there's like a level that like when, I don't know, like there's like this confidence that happens when I feel like I made the shift. It was kind of a risk and it was very much like something I did for myself. And I don't know, when that starts to then work out and you feel like, oh man, I made the right decision or like it's just like this kind of confidence that like I did something for me and it's working out and I feel good. I don't know, feel good about that. And there's just like good vibes. It's kind of this like positive cycle.
Good vibes, honestly. I feel like it's just like everything is stacking on top of each other. It's like once you have like a good race and you like feel good about it and then you're having good workouts, it's just like, I don't know, then everything just starts to fall into place. And I think people like really saw that with you this summer.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's also, oh my gosh, sorry, my dad is like texting me. There it is. Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely, yes, exactly that. I think it's like, it starts to, there's this momentum that starts to grow. And I think part of that was, honestly, I feel like I had been running well, but like not up to my potential for a few years. And then to be able to like hit it, I obviously didn't make the team, so I didn't hit it exactly right. But like to hit it pretty well, where I was able to like come back out, pull myself out of this plateau. And I was just so proud of that. And I think that shows. And then also just like having a ton of fun with it. Like I'm, again, at this point in my life that I'm still doing this and I'm like thriving in it is just so cool. And I feel so incredibly lucky that then I feel like that element of fun is also like, I don't know, giving something.
Yeah, you probably feel like a little more rejuvenated with the running thing. How much longer do you think you'll do it for? Are you gonna like, are you the person that like moves up to the marathon?
You know, no, not
100 mile weeks. Come on, light work.
I know. I honestly, last weekend I was like so I got back and I was on such a high, and I took a few days off, and then I had a long run, and I did like a super freshman move where I just like killed my long run. Like, it was supposed to be like ish, like kind of hard, and I just like sent it. I was like, I just like went for it. I was like, also the waterfront in Portland is so flat. It's like fake running. So yeah, after that I was like, nah, maybe I'll do a half marathon one day.
Yeah.
No, the whole point of me even making this move is like, I am a short middle distance runner. Like, my that's where my strengths lie. I could never do a good, well, never say never, but I don't think I would be very good. I would not be very good at like distance, like marathon stuff.
Do you think you would run one for fun?
Yeah. So this is what I honestly would love. I would love to finish my final track season and then like immediately that fall go to like, my mind on like go to run New York or run one of the majors, and not like go crazy, but like, I don't know, try to have a time, either just to say you run a marathon or like try to go sub 3 hours, which I say that and I think it's like way harder than I'm even.
You would 100% be able to go sub 3 hours. What are you talking about? No,
but I'm saying like not on marathon training, like just on like, I'm training for the 800 and then I go.
Okay, but that, you are really underestimating yourself. I don't know what you ran your like long run at, but like, if you, okay, maybe New York's a little harder, but like I ran Chicago back in 2019. I ran, my training was not the best and I wasn't in good shape really at all. And I ran 3:28 or something. And I was like, if I was like running consistently, I feel like I could break 3 hours. So if I have the confidence that I can break 3 hours, then you should definitely be confident that you can break three.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying like as a way, cause I was fun for the rest of my life to be able to say like, I did a marathon and I did it in whatever. And I also, but I don't really want to work hard in a marathon. Like the idea of like pushing hard at the end of a marathon sounds awful.
Okay, that's a thing. Like, I honestly loved my experience with Chicago because I ran it really well. Like, I was starting off like, okay, my time ended up being, it was like 7:59 pace or something, like just dipped under eight. And I ran it really well because like the first half I was running like 8:15, 8:30s, and I was like, this feels great. And then I just like started cranking out 7:30s like the last half, and then it was an amazing experience. I never hit a wall. Like, I just, like, and it was, like, fun. I mean, I was in the zone, like, towards the end of it, whatever. Like, you're running 26 miles. It's not going to be easy or whatever. But I really enjoyed my experience because I was not, like, literally, like, dying. And that's what, I don't think I would ever be able to, like, run a marathon just all out because I don't think I could handle the pain of running 6-minute miles for 26 miles.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. You did it perfectly. That's ideally what I want. I just want to be, like, feeling good. And whatever that is, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I saw you in Chicago. I feel like I was at a table with you or something, because we were there for Nike. I kind of remember that you were, because you were there as like for media, right?
Also? Yeah. The media people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good memories. Well, you should do Chicago actually. If you like flat, if you like hilly, New York is good.
Oh, I hate hilly.
Okay, well, New York's probably not good. I was literally running through Central Park the other day for the first time ever, and it was, like, really hilly. And I was like, oh, I guess people, like, run marathons on this. But everyone loves it.
You've never run in Central Park?
No, that was my first time.
What?
I ran, like, 3 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Making my way. I'm a city girl now.
Yeah, look at you. I guess you're further south in Manhattan. It doesn't really make sense for you to, like, run there all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to bike 30 minutes up there to run 3 miles, you know.
I love Central Park though. I feel like it's, I mean, not for a hard running, but just like, I don't know, a little loopy loop around. It's super, super nice.
Yeah, it was great. I definitely will make my way up there more now just because I have the experience of like my 3 mile run there. So no, it's great.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Organifi. Organifi is a line of organic superfood blends that offer plant-based nutrition with high-quality ingredients and less than 3 grams of sugar. You guys have heard me talk a bit about them over the last couple weeks, and I have been absolutely implementing them into my routine every day. I'm so proud of myself. I've been on such a good routine. I take a scoop of the red juice and the green juice together in the morning to kick off my day, and then I always have a scoop of their complete protein. I've been loving the vanilla flavor. I add that to my oatmeal or my smoothies every day. It's super convenient. The green juice contains a clinical dose of ashwagandha, which helps support healthy cortisol levels, which you guys know I've struggled with. So it literally takes 30 seconds, and I just like to combine both the red juice and the green juice together because it makes it even easier for my morning. But the green juice contains 11 different superfoods like Carilla, ashwagandha, moringa, spirulina, beets, turmeric, mint, wheatgrass, lemon, and coconut water. So good. The red juice has 13 different superfoods for energy support and a berry superfood drink. So that is a delicious superfood berry blend of premium organic superfoods that contain potent adaptogens, antioxidants, and a clinical dose of cordyceps. So helps increase and promote energy with natural herbs, medicinal mushrooms, and antioxidants. So big fan of both of those. The complete protein also just tastes really good. And that one, it's organic, vegan, contains 20 grams of protein with 7 different superfoods. It also contains half the daily recommended value of selenium, vitamin C, D, E, A, thiamine, and 35% of your daily iron. And the vitamins are all from whole foods. So great addition for someone who works out a lot. I just love adding it to my smoothies after my workout. Big fan of all of them. So if you guys are interested, go check out Organifi. Head to www.organifi.com/coldbrew. That's www.organifi.com/coldbrew. Or just head to their website, organifi.com, and use code coldbrew for 20% off all products. Now let's get back into the episode. Okay, well, enough marathon talk. Okay, Kate literally DMs me. She's like, I want to make this like weird. Like, I want to make this unique. And I was like, okay, well, this is the podcast to do it. So, okay. You literally like posted on your story, like, give me like weird topics to talk about for podcasts.
I know. Well, because I like said, I mean, honestly, I love that everyone was so excited about the races, but then I was doing these podcasts. I was like, I feel like boring talking about it at this point. Then I feel like other people listening feel bored listening to it, but I guess you have different listeners. But I was like, I want to be, I don't know. It's like fun to have interesting things to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely understand. And I like talking about people's races, but also like, I mean, no offense, I get kind of bored too. Like, I'd rather talk about other things. Like, I don't know, joking about running marathons. That's a little more fun. Like, you can go listen to other podcasts if you really want to hear the stats. Like, I'm not really a stats person, you know, I don't really know that much like data behind the scenes. Like, that's, I did commentary at that, I commentated the 10K that the girls did, the Garmin girls. And like, Jeff was like throwing out all these stats and I was like, this is like not my forte. Like, I just don't really know anything about like running history. It's kind of bad. Like, I just don't know. So I much prefer like getting to know the people, but that's why I think people like this podcast, because it's like just a little different than like other running podcasts. I don't know. Maybe I'm just tooting my own.
No, I totally agree. That's again what I was thinking, is because like, I think obviously it's interesting to hear and people want to hear training stuff, but like, yeah, I don't know. The stats, I also don't really know the stats, probably to a point where I probably should know a little bit more. Like,
like, okay, but you're in it. Like, you're a runner. Like, that's your job or whatever. I feel like my job is like running media, and I don't know the stats. I'm like, we really should. I should know these things. I don't know what. Where do I even go for that? Like,
no. I mean, it's Let's Run.
No thanks.
Oh God, I did go on Let's Run. I like made a rule this year. I'm never going on Let's Run. And then after I ran well, I was like so pumped. I was like,
oh, like, oh, I can't wait to see my amazing like thread about me.
Yeah, and it's so horrible. It was like even worse. It's, what was it? Oh, the people kept saying that, what it was, people, it was like someone was saying like, oh, she must be just bad at rounds. And I was getting so angry. I was like, what the fuck are you saying? I just ran like 5 races in the last 10 days. How am I bad at rounds?
You shouldn't have gone on Let's Run. There's never a winning situation. You're never going to go on there and leave feeling good about yourself.
I know. It was horrible. It was bad. So I'm back off. But yeah.
I literally like, when I first started like doing YouTube, I didn't like go on Let's Run all the time, but I would go on there occasionally. And then once I started like my YouTube channel in college, like kind of started getting more popular, I was like, let me just go on Let's Run and like see if there's any articles about me or whatever. Worst thing I've ever done in my life. And I was like not mentally ready to handle that. And then I like went to my sports psychologist and she's like, why don't you just like not look at the website? I'm like, didn't think about that one. And then I literally blocked it from my own computer because I was like, I need to just stop like even being tempted to do this.
Yeah. That's so smart. I've never thought about blocking. Well, yeah, I've stopped, but oh man, college is the worst. That'd be even harder being in college looking at that shit. And then you realize it's like, well, whatever, I won't keep talking about it.
You just realize that these people don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a nice way to put it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, my first question, we'll get into some more unusual topics. Mm-hmm. Or questions. So you have been traveling a lot. Do you have any like crazy travel stories or just like anything like weird that's happened to you across the seas or even in the US?
Oh yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, the crazy thing recently was with all of the COVID stuff. Like, so yeah, travel stuff. COVID was weird when we went, like, I honestly went over and didn't fully realize that, like, it was quarantine stuff. So I decided to go to these races and then got there. And it was like, oh my gosh, I literally, like, we have to stay in our rooms or not leave the hotel. Like Gates said, we could not leave the hotel. Also, you could leave for running, but like you couldn't eat with people. So you literally like we had our own little quarantine area for eating. And then you were like on these little desks, all facing the same way, all 6 feet apart, just like eating there by yourself. Like you're in a classroom. It was so depressing. And I was already
and good vibes.
I know. Those were not good vibes. We had to change the vibes. It's funny thinking about crashing with Emma and Joe. So when I first went to the team, also I went to Scottsdale and I didn't, because it was super last minute, I didn't have a place rented yet, so I was going to stay with them for like a week or two. And it was their place. It was them and like Joe's brother was there and like his brother, his good friend, because they were kind of doing a little vacation also. So I like was staying with them, which I didn't really know any of them very well. And I was sharing a bathroom with Beej, who's Joe's brother, because like that's the way the house worked or whatever. And it was one of these ones where like it's like one of those bathrooms where like he had entrance to his room, but then it was also entrance from the outside, you know? So it's like two door situation. So like if for some reason someone forgets to unlock a door, you're kind of like locked out of it. So one night I got up in the middle of the night and had to pee and the door was locked. So no. Like he had gone to the bathroom and he had forgot to unlock it, but it was like 2 a.m. So I'm like, I literally met this person a week ago. Like I'm not close enough to him to like walk.
I'm gonna go crawl into his room and be like, sorry.
Yeah.
You're a mistake.
I know. So I went back to bed and I was like, okay, can I just lay here and like sleep? But like I couldn't. So then I was like, okay, what do I do? Like, do I pee in the sink? Like what do I do? Oh! I don't. So instead there was like a little backyard. So I went into the backyard. But it's Arizona, so there's like literally no foliage. It's like this one tree and then it's all like rock, so you're very exposed. Like if anyone looked out, they would full on see you.
Okay, but it's middle of the night. Is anyone gonna look?
Right, I know. So that's what I was thinking. So I literally just like went and just like squat next to the tree and pee in the backyard.
Instead of walking to his room, he just pee in the backyard like a dog.
Yeah. And I was like, I really hope that no one, I mean, it was definitely light enough that if anyone was up and they looked outside, like they would full on see, or like a neighbor looked over, like they would full on see what was happening. So
imagine someone walking into that.
I know. Be like, what is this weird? Like,
so they would have so many questions.
Yeah. What is going on?
Wait, that is so funny. That was, yeah. So that was in Arizona?
That was in Arizona in January when I first joined.
Oh, okay, good. So you were making a really good impression.
Yeah, great first impression.
Wait, did you tell that story? Like, did you tell anyone the next day?
I did. I told like some of the girls, and then it wasn't until a little bit later that I actually like told everybody, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well now thousands of people know, so.
Yeah, so now it's out there. It's cool. I feel like we're runners. Everyone's like always peeing. It's very common.
So. Yeah. Do you have any other like weird stories like that? You said poop stories on like.
Oh my gosh, that's where my, I asked, and that's people were like responding with weird things. But I mean, I don't know. There's always, I feel like with running, there's always bathroom issues. That's like such a common thing.
Okay. So I do this like YouTube, video sometimes. It's like running confessions. And I did it like the first time. So people like send in there, it's like anonymous, but like obviously I can see who they are, but I don't tell that to the world.
Yeah.
But I would say like 90% of the first one I did, people send in poop stories. So then the next time I do it, I'm like, please limit the poop stories unless it's like an absolutely incredible one. Because it's like, most of them were just like, I like went on a run and then I like had to poop in the bushes. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm sorry, but that poop story isn't phenomenal enough to like go on the video. So then I literally have to say, I have to be like a special poop story only.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was it? When we were in Park City one year with our, I think it was 2019. We did like Never Have I Ever with the, or yeah, 10 Fingers. Is that the,
yeah,
with like the people there. And I feel like someone said, Never Have I Ever Pooped My Pants. And like everyone put a finger down. And then basically we were all laughing. It's like, either you're lying, if you're a runner, either you're lying or you're putting a finger down. Because like everyone's had that. And that's just kind of
what we have to do. I don't think I've ever actually pooped myself. Like, I don't think I've actually pooped my pants.
Well,
you put the finger down. So do tell.
First of all, now you live in New York, so I feel like I'm not going to jinx you, but it will happen because you're going to be in the situation where you can't go in the bushes. Like, there's literally no place
there is no bushes, and there's no public bathrooms around here, so probably will happen.
Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, yeah, honestly, so 2013, my first year, like my first little training camp, I was so excited. This has never happened to me before either. I didn't realize this was like even a possibility in my life to ever happen, and I was went to Phoenix with Tempe, and I was like training there because I thought for warm weather or whatever. And I was running with Molly Huddle and Amy Hastings, and I was super excited because I was like, oh my gosh, these are like great runners, whatever, whatever. I'm so pumped. And then I was like, we were going on a little long run, and I was like too embarrassed to say I had to go to the bathroom. And it was the story itself actually isn't even that exciting. Basically, we're just like, I was too embarrassed to say I had to go to the bathroom. And then I was like getting to the end and there was an issue. And I was basically just like, instead of just saying like, I need to stop, we were going back to like our parking lot, and I finally had to like veer off, and I was like walking toward the bathroom, and then we had a situation. And so I was within like sight of the bathroom, but I did not make it to the bathroom. But it was literally this sad thing, because I was like so excited, my first run with like these two like superstars, and I was just like too embarrassed to stop. And then I literally had to like go to the bathroom and be like, what did I just do? And luckily they had kept running, so they were like, didn't have to deal with them anymore. But then I was just like, like, literally, what do you do in that situation? Like,
what did you do? Wait, were they meeting you back? Like, were they just running longer?
I think I was getting picked up by someone else. So I'm pretty sure like I avoided any issue of like having to admit to them what had happened.
Okay, which, good.
But then I did have to like, what did I do? I think I like tried to, I'm so embarrassed. It was so horrible. I think I just like had to figure myself out in the bathroom and then like go to a Starbucks or something.
It's literally like so gross when you think about it. You're like recollecting. I can just see the pain in your eyes.
Yeah, it's so gross. Because you have to like, oh my God, this is so disgusting. You have to like throw stuff out, right? So, oh man, this is way too embarrassing to talk about on a podcast. It's so vile.
Apparently like 90% of people understand throwing out
So just don't look too hard into the trash cans in these public bathrooms, I guess, because you have to like throw out your underwear, right?
Yeah, well, I would hope so. I hope you don't like leave them on.
No. Oh man, that just went there. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, that you asked her. You literally said you literally recommended to me poop stories.
That was way too weird. Oh man.
It's okay. Only thousands of people will shot yourself.
That was like 8 years ago, though, so we're fine.
Yeah. Did you ever tell Molly and Amy?
I feel like I may have told. I think I probably did. Because again, like, honestly, that's what you're saying. Like, most people have these stories. Like, it actually isn't that rare, even though I'm fully embarrassed about it. Like, it's
you're never not going to be embarrassed about it. No one's going to, like, poop themselves and be like, God, this is normal, guys. Like, we've all done it.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's going to be mortified if that happens.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, that makes me nervous because I've had some close calls, as everyone has, but I don't think I've ever actually fully done it. But I think it will happen at some point, like you said, and I'm nervous. Like, how do I think probably, like, diapers on my run, you think?
Yeah, right. Honestly, I think at this point, you're fine. I think my issue was, it was my early on, in my early days of, like, I literally just started doing long runs. Like, I didn't understand that, like, when you're running, it's different. And, like, when you have to go, you, like, have to go. Yeah. And so that, I've learned now that, like, I am much more emergency if I get those, like, if you can tell, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas then I was like, it's fine, I probably can just hold it. I'm like, and now it's not the case, you know.
Yeah. So that makes sense. I think it is my expertise, like my years of running, yeah, that like kind of exactly has prepared me for this.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid it. And I'll keep, yeah, like extra diapers in my car just in case.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Keep some like toilet paper in your car or something.
The sponsors of this podcast can be like, what is this? Like, this is not normal.
Please stop.
I think people will enjoy it though. Yeah. Or they're gonna be like throwing up in their car while listening to this, or on their, yeah, run, like about to poop themselves probably.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we can change topics now.
Yeah, please.
Avoid further embarrassment. Okay, you also said people requested like your weird recovery habits, and then you told me that you used to tape your mouth shut in your sleep. Can you, yeah, explain on that?
So I definitely, I am, I think in a good way, like very curious about like how to get better or whatever, like always reading the little books about like different ways to improve. And so there was like last year, 2 years ago, I was kind of wheezing in workouts. And so I was actually like looking into like, I mean, I think it was allergies, but looking into like, okay, is this like exercise induced asthma, like what's going on? And then I like led me down this path of this like breathing guru in Portland, and his whole thing is like, we need to breathe out of our nose, like we can't breathing out of our mouth too much, blah blah blah, like breathing out of your nose is like what's going to change your life. And now there's like this book that came out recently called Breath or Breathe or whatever, that's basically all similar. It's like, and the people go way too intense on it. They're like, your facial muscles are going to change, you're going to be more beautiful, blah blah blah, like you're going to like cure cancer, I don't know, like they go like all in. I'm like, everything is, it's funny how people get really into these things, like they go all in that like everything is, all the problems in your life are coming from you breathing through your mouth, not your nose. And that all said, there is something, I think his whole thing was like nose breathing, you're going to somehow, it's like you're going to get more nitric oxide into your blood, so you'll actually be able to like get more oxygen out of whatever you're breathing, and it's going to improve your performance, and it's going to like reduce this kind of tendency to like wheeze and overbreathe in workouts. So what they recommend is like you want to be breathing through your nose as much as possible. So like if you're in your car or whatever, if you notice, like if your mouth is open, just close it. But the big thing is like you're sleeping for 8 hours or whatever, 9 hours a night. So breathing through your nose at night is like the key. And what you need to do is, if you're not, then you need to like to force yourself to do it. You need to like tape your mouth shut for the first few, like whatever weeks to like get you to do it. So I tried it. So basically like I was putting on like KT tape on my mouth before bed. And it also was just like this funny thing, because I would like be getting ready for bed, and it's like the most like not unattractive, but basically it's like I'm with my boyfriend, and suddenly I have like my eye mask and my earplugs and my nose tape on, and I'm like, okay, this just means we are nothing's happening, like I'm fully going into bed mode. I'm like,
nothing is happening.
we're just gonna be all, yeah. So it was just a little intense, but it also was crazy, because the first few times you do it, like you get kind of claustrophobic, because like,
yeah, that scared me, like what if like, yeah, my nose stops working or something,
right? I mean, the idea is that you're not opening, or that it's not super tight on there, so like if you couldn't breathe, like you could just open your mouth and
yeah, and you'd like wake up probably,
yeah. But it is, for the first few nights I would just do it where I would like do it for 30 minutes before bed and then take it off. But I did get to the point where I could like fall asleep with it on, which was kind of cool. And, but it was just like this funny thing that like, I don't know, I feel like was definitely looked way more intense and strange. But now I do breathe through my nose at night. And so maybe that's why I'm running so fast right now. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not trying to flex, but I'm a nose breather. I put in that nose breathing work.
Yeah, did my time. And now I get all these Instagram ads because now it's like kind of a thing in the like holistic performance space or whatever. So I get all these Instagram ads for like the nose breathe tape or whatever. So yeah.
I can confidently say I've never gotten that ad in my life.
Watch out, probably like tomorrow you'll get it.
I know. I'm literally going to get one this afternoon because it's listening to me, but.
Yeah, totally.
Do you have any other weird recovery things or is that pretty much it?
Like in terms of actual, I think the big thing that I've also changed this year is, just like being better with timing on food. I think very much Emma is like, and Joe are huge proponents of protein really quickly after workout and lift, making sure you're basically doing a protein shake every single day. And that's the kind of stuff that I did. Like I always ate food after workouts, but I wasn't really looking at my protein intake. And I think that's been a good thing for me just to be like more aware of like making sure I'm getting protein in throughout the day, especially like as a female athlete, especially as you get older. I think it just like helps you maintain muscle mass.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Another question I have for you is have you seen anything weird just like in the running world at all?
Weird in the running world?
I don't know. I feel like runners are just weird. So have you like, is this the weird thing that you've like seen? Have you? Do you have any stories?
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. I mean, like runners are the strangest, but I love them. They're like so great.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just generally fun to be on these trips. It's just generally fun to be on these trips, like with different people that you get to meet. I'm not going to out anyone, but
you don't have to name names.
And this isn't weird. This is totally normal. But like when I was in 2019, I was in, in Zagreb, there was this race and I like met a few runners for the first time and we were all this Nike thing. And then like later that night, I couldn't sleep from the race. So I was like outside cause we had roommates. So I was outside of my room, like talking to my boyfriend on FaceTime or something. And I saw basically like caught someone coming back with a girl from the club and they were like, they like came back and we just like, we were the only two people in the hallway. It was like 1 a.m. And so they came back, like bring this girl back to their room and we had just met. And so we like knew each other, but then I awkwardly like didn't want to like impede on their like situation. So I was like awkwardly just like standing there in the hallway, like trying to make myself quite exactly.
Like, yeah. Like I'm just blending into the wall.
I'm invisible. Yeah. And so then they went into their room and we like waved and they went into their room and then, but then like, it was kind of, I could hear because like I could hear them talking. And because like the door, I don't know, it's like a random hotel in Croatia and there's probably like room under the door and they turned the TV on to like some weird music channel. And so then I was like, okay, I need to not be in the situation.
I need to not be here right now.
So I like walked outside or something. I don't know.
That's pretty funny.
Weird, but yeah.
One of like the weirdest things, it was honestly, it just kind of caught me off guard was I was a freshman in college and like, I just transferred to Oregon and like, I had never really surrounded myself by like the top people in the country or whatever until I got to Oregon. And I like was at this person's house and I like walked into their room and they had an altitude tent. And I was like, what the heck is that? It was just like this tent, like over their bed. And I was like, what is this? Like, it was just like my first experience. I was like, is this what like runners do? Like they just have like these, and altitude tents are so expensive. I was like, how is this person like affording this like $10,000 altitude tent in college? Meanwhile, like I just like got to Oregon. I'm like a freshman. I'm like, I don't know. Like I'm just here to like train hard or whatever. I don't know.
No, people are so crazy. Also, those things seem so like, how would you ever sleep in them? It seems like it would just be literally a sweatbox, right?
I know. Well, that too. Like, I just had so many questions when I walked into that room. I was like, what does that do? Does it actually work? That sounds like awful. Like, while you're sleeping, you just can't breathe. But then when you, like, how much of a difference does that make in your life? Like, having that altitude tent? I just had so many questions.
Yeah. No, I mean, 100%. I don't know. I don't think that they actually work. And people, like, swear by them. I don't know.
Well, now you have nature's altitude being in Boulder.
Yeah, exactly. We get that.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Do you like training at altitude or no?
It's like a love-hate thing. I'm so bad at it. Like, I honestly, yeah. I mean, I think it's good though, because I'm just like such a comparatively worse athlete when I'm at altitude. Like, it's really hard. Recovery is really hard for me, whatever. I'm always complaining I can't sleep, but then I run well off of it. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you're going to benefit from it. So I like it because of that.
You just feel bad every day of the week, and then you go race and feel amazing. You're like, I guess that makes up for it.
Yeah, exactly. I do think Joe's been pretty good at, like, is good at training with altitude. So I didn't, feels like it's manageable. I think what's hard sometimes is you go up there and you just kill yourself, and people end up going up and killing themselves, but then, like, I don't know, not being able to race super well off of it. And I think you need to manage having good workouts, but also being able, like, maybe taking a little bit extra time or whatever to recover so that it's not unsustainable.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, well, do you have any pre-race rituals? And also, Corey McGee said that you're really, like, sweet and bubbly all the time, and then when race day comes, you're, like, really serious, and she was wondering why that was.
I've actually been trying to be not quite as serious. I do go into this mode where, like, during race week, not that I'm angry at anyone, but I don't want, but I'm angry at people. No, I don't know.
Not that I'm, like, angry, but I am.
I guess it's funny. Now I'm thinking about, like, yeah, actually, if people are asking me about whatever, like, people are trying to be nice and, like, make plans for dinner, I'm like, fuck you. Don't talk to me.
Absolutely not. Why would you ever ask that question?
I think mostly I just get nervous. And so around race day, other people like to be around people, but I like to just, like, be in my room alone. Like, I love having a full day where I can just, like, chill or watch TV or whatever. Like, be super low key about it. And then, I really enjoy racing, but it's, like, one of those things where you have to kind of get into your killer mindset or whatever. And so that, I feel like I need about a day of switch where I'm, like, not doing group dinners or whatever, and I'm just kind of more solo. And then I'll kind of switch into, like, competitive mindset. It's not like I'm specifically mad at anyone, but I just, like, want to do well, and I want to, like, go out there and, I don't know, like, be my best or whatever. Although honestly, it's funny how it changed a little bit when I was in Europe. Like, at the trials, I was so intense, almost, I think, a little bit too much. You know, sometimes you just, like, you're trying to be so perfect, and it was like, it's kind of like the fun gets drained out of it, you know? And I feel that happened to me sometimes in college, where you get so serious and you think that in order to be great, you have to be so serious, but you realize, like, there's kind of a balance to it. And I think when I went over for those races in Europe, it was like, I rediscovered that balance. Like, hey, I actually can, like, be a little bit more chill. And, like, even with, like, social media, like, I had gone so super off. I did completely off Instagram during the trials, and I was like, I don't know, why not? Let's just be a little bit more light with it, or be texting friends or whatever on race day. And I actually liked that so much more. Like, I was in my room, I'd be, like, dancing to music or whatever. Like, just doing stuff
that revolutionary.
Revolutionary, crazy. Or just, like, I don't know, I was, like, going and giving the cheesecake, like, as my little pre-race snack, because I needed I don't know, like sugar and carbs, and that sounded good. Stuff that just is not crazy, but I think I had just been so, again, like so trying to be boring that it was more fun for me to just be a little bit, like have a little bit more, I don't know, like levity or whatever, I guess.
Yeah. Being a little more lighthearted.
I had this like weird meditation tape that I listened to since 2016. Patrick Porter is the person. He's like this it's a guided meditation, but it's funny. It's kind of almost like he's putting you in a trance or something. And so I've listened to the same guy since 2016. And that's what I'll do. I'll put my headphones in and like listen to it for 20 minutes. And people will get nervous, like that I've fallen asleep or something, but I'm not like actually listening. I'm listening to the hypnotized guy, and it's so funny. It's like, and now you're, it's just like there's really intense music, and he's like, his voice is kind of like really weird hypnotist voice, I don't even know. And it's, but the problem, I realized this year that like I've been using this stupid old app for so many years that like it had expired, like the app was no longer supported by the new update. So I freaked out, and I know, like, my mom,
oh no, how am I gonna hypnotize myself?
I know. So I actually emailed the guy and I was like, I need your app. But I got it, and he gave me like access. They have a new one. It's Brain Tap, is that what it's called now? And he gave me access to whatever, to all of their files. So I have it again. No worries.
Oh my gosh! You literally emailed the guy. You're like, I'm desperate. Like, I need to be hypnotized before this race by your sweet, sweet voice.
Exactly. Please.
Oh my gosh.
Whisper sweet nothings in my ear.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that is really funny. Okay, that's a good like previous ritual. That's like out of the norm. You know?
Yeah.
Meditation. Okay. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but we have some questions on my end now that we can go over. I feel like they're not as like juicy, you know, no poop stories, but, okay. First question, you've worked with two different sponsors of different scales. What is the best part of each?
I think I obviously, out of college, working with Wazelle was great, and I was it was like a family, and so there was very much this, it was because it was so small, I felt like I could be there and be working, I don't know, just have so much like personal interaction with everyone, and that was positive. And I think then, I don't know, being able to run well, I felt like I was really like bring the brand, or like bring the brand along. I signed with Nike in 2017, and it's funny, I mean, I think everyone always has this, but being able to sign and had that experience of kind of this like marquee sponsor and then go to it was just so much more like awareness of just how cool it all was. Like, this is like so special. And like, I remember when I first went to campus, or like saw the gym or saw the track and all this different stuff, I was like, this is insane what is available to these athletes, right?
Yeah. Like, there's a, you were like a pro Nike athlete. That is like, how many people in the world can say that, you know?
Right. And it's like, there's a jacuzzi in the locker room of this place, which also for the employees, which is like really cool for employees to work there.
Yeah.
But I don't know, stuff like that. It was like, this is amazing. Just all of the different access we have. And I mean, it's funny. It's interesting. I mean, obviously like Nike gets some crap sometimes from like the running world, but it's once you get in with the different, like, understanding people at Nike Running. I just had drinks the other night with Kate, and it's like they're also just huge running fans, and they like love all the athletes, and they're like all kind of nerding out behind the scenes, and so it's been very fun to kind of understand that and get to know just like that these people really, it's just the same people, just people behind the scenes that are just like so excited about their athletes and about what all these crazy things everyone's doing and trying to get to do a good job by them. So the more that I think has really been benefited from being in Portland and being able to like get to know people that way. Also just like cool shoes and clothes. I mean, that's been, I don't know, fun. Yeah. I feel like like going to the employee store, like getting like stuff shipped to you. It just like, yeah, that kind of stuff is, it's not why you sign, but it's just like this really awesome perk. And I think obviously then like just the caliber of athlete that I get to train with has been like otherworldly. It's wild.
Yeah. That's interesting. Like, I completely agree about the people behind the scenes at Nike. Like, I've worked pretty closely with like various Nike teams. And everyone is just so nice. Like, and everyone, like you said, they really care about their jobs and they really care about everyone. So I really like the vibes of like all the people I've met are like surrounding the Nike running scene. So I'm kind of glad that you brought that up because.
No, totally. People, and it's funny, people, again, like there, obviously there's always issues with people talking about contracts, but like all the companies are like that, you know, like it's a business. At one point, like we're a business and then like we have to perform to certain, I get less up in arms about the idea of, obviously it sucks. Like we're in a really cutthroat business and like, it is no fun to, I mean, to get reduced or to have money cut, but like we also, that's part of what we're doing is like, we're really at the razor's edge and we're expected to perform. And so, and every company is having to deal with like riding that line. And I don't know. I just think it's kind of becomes unfair sometimes the way that it's made it out is like, Nike's the only one that is doing performance, like based changes in income or whatever. When like literally everyone's doing that.
Yeah. And I think it's just harder in like our sport too, because the money just isn't as like, I don't know, available, or it's like the contracts just aren't as big as like, they're on multi-million dollar contracts most of the time. I mean, rarely you're getting that. I don't even know if anyone is in the running world. So I guess like if, when you are reduced, I think it's just like, maybe it hits a little harder. I don't really know. I'm not a Nike contract or a running contract expert. So.
Yeah. I'm just saying that like, it's not just the Nike athletes where that like that those are things, you know, and it's kind of weird sometimes that it's implied that like, that's the only people that's doing it. I don't know. Also, it's just, I like being able to deal, like have other sports, not that I'm out there like meeting the other Nike athletes, but even just on campus, like the pictures of the different athletes from different sports and like, you feel kind of connected to them in some way. Like I'm connected to Serena, but like, not really, but I don't know, a little bit.
There's it's like, you're kind of like at the same school. Well, I mean, the Nike campus is literally like it looks like a college campus. It's huge.
Yeah.
There's like different buildings or whatever. So it's like, it's like kind of the same vibe where maybe you don't know them on the team, but you still have a like, general connection.
Yeah, that's what I think. If you swap this
team. Wait, I'm sure Serena thinks the same thing when she's
on. That's, yeah, right?
So me and Kate Grace on the same team, swag. Okay, well, next question. Do you regret not making the move to Team Boss earlier?
No, I mean, there's like no really way that that would have been possible. If anything, it's like kind of this crazy thing where it's funny because like Joe's my age, right? There's, so I do, if there's any regret in my career, it's like that I didn't go all in on the 800 from the get-go, right? Mm-hmm. Like I had, that's sometimes if I think like, oh man, if I, after 2013, I was fourth at US trials that year. And I, like if I just like gone all in, but every year I would run well in the 8 and I'd be like, oh, well that I should just run the 15 now or whatever. And so that is where sometimes I'm like, oh shoot, would I have just like had so much more success? But you can't really look back. And in a weird way, like it's enabled me to have this like later career resurgence and have PRs and stuff. And like, honestly, be able to work with him as a coach, because like, if I had tried to work, I mean, it wasn't even a possibility. They weren't even a group until what, 2017?
Yeah. It was pretty like, recently.
Yeah. Like, and he had like a fifth year or something in college. He literally like would have been still in college when I first was starting to run. So it's kind of, I just think it's cool / special that like it all worked out, that I was able, because in a weird way, because I had this like late development, that I've been able to now work with him as a coach, you know, which like maybe wouldn't have been possible otherwise.
Yeah, that actually definitely makes sense, because the group is still so new. And like, especially at the beginning, they only had a few people that were running with them. Like, it's only kind of recently they're like established, like we are Team Boss, like, and we are a group of people.
Exactly. Like, even in the beginning, it was just Emma and Aisha. So it was only Steeple. So, like, I would never have gone at that point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that makes sense. What is your 400 meter PR?
55 from high school. But okay. I think
you might be able to beat that now.
I think I can, like, do faster.
A bold prediction.
Honestly, probably faster in like at the end of a workout. So yeah, like let's try to get that down.
Well, yeah, when are you gonna race a 4?
I know. Joe was saying that he wants to get a 400 PR. So I don't know.
You can go at it with a thing.
You
can duke it out.
I know. I just need to get a little bit closer. I like, if she's out there running 49, I can't be out here with a 55.
I cannot believe that. 49. Sheesh.
That's so wild.
What are your favorite books? Are you a reader? You read?
Yeah, I am a reader. My favorite books. I love this book less. That is a novel that, like, most people who I tell to read it hate it. So maybe not read it, but I was, like, my favorite book to listen to. It's like kind of a love story. I don't even know. It's really good. I really like, what do I really like? The, like, nonfiction type stuff. I really liked the book Just Mercy. I thought that was, like, super, super good. It's just a great story. And a lot of the kind of more depressing ones, this book called Dope Sick, about, like, the opioid epidemic. That was, like, I don't know, interesting and sad. And I, like, get really angry whenever I think about the drug companies, but that's a different story.
That's a different topic for probably a different podcast. Exactly. Okay, well, do you have any advice to your younger self is the last question I have for you.
Yes, advice for my younger self is, I just don't know, honestly, I love, like, my younger self, like, made good decisions, or I think just continuing to follow what you think is good for you. In terms of running, I am proud of the way I did it. I feel like I didn't kill myself early. I just enjoyed it. I did relays. I was much more team oriented, and I, like, let the development happen as it happened. So that, I'm like, yeah, go you. Like, you were, good job on that. I mean, probably, like, in terms of other stuff in my life, probably, like, I definitely feel like I get kind of embarrassed about college age me just, like, being super flaky and not really, like, focusing on school and making the most of that. So that would be more what I would say is, like, being flaky is disrespectful, and, like, have more respect for your friends, you know, and, like, try to be a good person. But I think I've gotten better. I have gotten better at that. And I think at one point, like, you have to just learn those lessons, maybe sometimes the hard way.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's good advice. Well, I really like this episode. I hope other people did too.
Oh,
I feel like it was, like, such a conversation, but that's what I love about it, because it literally is combos over cold brew, so I love a good conversation. We really range from a variety of topics, so.
We really ranged. I'm kind of embarrassed that we went all those different directions, but.
Don't be embarrassed,
I think it was good.
Yeah.
I'm also sitting in my car. I literally am sweating.
I was like, we need to wrap this up, because Kate is literally, I see dripping sweat on your face and on your, like, neck. And I'm like, she's probably dying right now. So let's wrap this up quick.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, to close out, do you want to, like, where should people follow you at?
Mostly Instagram, Fast Kate. Although I kind of want to go back to Twitter. I feel like Twitter's happening again. And
I think it's kind of popping off.
Yeah, I might, like, head back to Twitter at one point. It's also Fast Kate.
Okay, makes it easy. All right, well, to close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. This was a little bit more random of an episode, but I guess welcome to Convos Over Cold Brew, because you never know what you're going to get. So make sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you have the chance. Also, follow us on Instagram. It's just @ConvosOverColdBrewPod.
if you want to be up to date or submit listener questions. And yeah, I will see you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big money.